We have here a story about the disciples doing what the disciples know how to do. They're fishing. Not for people, for fish. They're out in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, casting nets, trying to catch fish. Here they are in Galilee. They're back home. They're back where they know who they are and where they are and what they're doing. They're back home, and they don't know what to do. They don't know how to go forward with their living. They don't know how to live their lives. Their lives have been drastically changed by following Jesus. And now that Jesus is dead and now raised and now they're back home, they don't know what to do. And so, in the silence, they decide to do some night fishing. And they set out to sea, casting their nets first off one side, then off the other, off the front, off the back. Only what they normally did and how they normally fished didn't seem to be having any success. They weren't catching anything. They'd throw the net, they'd let it sink down towards the bottom, they'd pull on the line to start pulling it in, it comes together under the boat, they pull it up, they bring it out, and there's nothing in it. Maybe a few sticks, maybe something dead, but no fish. They've caught nothing. Until in the early morning, and in the Sea of Galilee, in Galilee there along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, sun comes up quick, friends. You have a long twilight, and then bang, over the east ridge comes the sun quickly. And you go from near darkness to light very fast. The shadows are very sharp. And they're not too far off the shore, and they see someone standing there. And that someone standing there asks them, "Have you caught any fish, kids?" "Nope, not a thing," they said. I'm sure they were frustrated. Maybe thinking this guy was taunting them. "Ah, fish over there," he says. And I imagine they were a bit frustrated. "Doesn't this guy know we've been fishing all night long?" But they cast their net anyway. And sure enough, this time, after failure, after failure, after failure, when they followed this guy's direction, whammo, they had a massive load of fish. Oh my goodness, such a haul, it nearly tips the boat over. And John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, says, "Hey, Peter, I think it's Jesus." And Peter gets excited. And he does something that seems kind of weird to us here in the 21st century. He's been fishing naked, friends. He puts his clothes on to jump into the water and goes a-swimming to Jesus on the bank. Meanwhile, the disciples, they're dragging along, paddling, trying to get to the shore, only about 100 yards away, dragging the net in the water behind them because they couldn't pull it aboard. And there's Jesus there. And they know it's Jesus. They're not going to ask, "Who are you?" They know it's him. And this brings us to our first point this morning. We can go about the things we know how to do. We can go through the motions every day of the things we know how to do. We can do our fishing, our missions, and our ministries. But until we do them with Jesus in our midst, until we do them with the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord amongst us, until we do them following the directive of Jesus to love our neighbor as ourselves, until we do it with Jesus, we're not going to have success. But when we do it with Jesus, when we fish with Jesus, when we engage in ministry and mission with Jesus, when we do so with the love of God in us, reaching out to the last and the least and the lost and the oppressed and the rejected with the message of the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord, when we go about our missions and ministries with Jesus, following the directives that Jesus have for us, then we have success. Thank you. I heard an amen. You know, I've pastored churches for years where it was as if the congregation had been nailed down to the pew with their hands underneath them and a gag put on their mouths. Until I came here and I managed to get some amens without me even having to ask for it. So let's try that again. My friends, we can do all of our stuff, all of our activities, but until we do it with Jesus, until we do it with Jesus, and when we do it with Jesus, then we have success.
Amen.
Thank you. You know, my brothers and sisters, we can try and we can try. And we can go and to take classes on how to be the church. But until we are the church with Jesus in our midst, we will fail. But when we are the church with Jesus in our midst, when we live with the love of God, and when we share that love with all, when we do this, we will have that massive catch, that great and wonderful haul that defies understanding, but is a result of the love of God. Amen. In Jesus Christ our Lord. With Jesus in the midst of our ministries together, with His grace and His peace, His love, His presence, His word, His power, His commandments, His direction, right there in our midst, we cannot fail. That's the first point today. It's a simple point. It's a point that is rooted throughout the entirety of Scripture and throughout the entirety of this message. Today's reading is that with Jesus there, you cannot fail. What's the second point? The second point deals with this 153 figure. And some of you said, what is this 153 chances that's on the sign out there? 153 chances? What might this mean? This is one of those weird things in the Bible, one of those strange passages that has captivated the interpreters for centuries. And I'm serious, centuries. The first sermons on it were preached back in the 3rd century. That's 1,700 plus years ago, friends. 153. It's a strange number. It's addressed so casually as if, oh, well, there's, you know, about 153 of them in this net. How did I remember that? Why was it so important for them to remember it? Does it have any other kind of meaning? For those who are mathematicians or who are interested in such oddities and numbers, we know something about this number. Now, my dad, I talk a lot about my dad. He was an engineer, an electrical engineer. He was a mathematician. He was also a fisherman. But an even greater fisher person was my dad's mom. Not only was she an amazing fisher person, she was also a mathematician. She was one of the earliest graduates from Southern Methodist University as a woman, and in the first class of graduating women with a master's and a doctorate in mathematics from SMU. She was brilliant. And she was a fisher person without compare. I used to think of my dad and my granddad as great fishermen. She put them all to shame. She knew where the fish were by just looking at the water. My dad said, that looks a little bit fishy over there. She said, not only does it look fishy, it is fishy. And they would come to her. They would come to her and jump onto her line. She couldn't put the line in fast enough. So for her, these numbers were of great fascination. 153 fish. What might it mean? Well, St. Augustine, Bishop of Hippo, in the 4th century AD, 1700 years ago, noted this. It is a triangular number. It is the sum of all the integers between 1 and 17. I mean, 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6 plus 7 plus 8 plus 9 plus 10, all the way up to plus 17. You add them all up and you get 153. I did it. It's real. It's true. Also, if you take 1, 5, and 3, 153, 1, 5, and 3, and raise each digit to the third power, and then add the results together, you get 153. Everybody go, ooh. In other words, 1 to the third power is 1. 5 to the third power is, okay, well now we got to do mathematics here. That's 5 times 5 is 25, times 5 is 100 and what?
25.
3 to the third power is, 3 times 3 is 9, and 3 times 9 is 27. 1 plus 125 plus 126. 1 plus 125 is 126, and 126 plus 27 is 153. Again, go, woo. It's a strange number, isn't it? It's a mysterious number. The fact that it's the addition of the first 17 integers, the fact that it is 1 to the third, 5 to the third, and 3 to the third added together. Wow, it must be an important word. Number, structure in the ancient world. There's even more. The Jews had a lectionary just like we do. Every week, pastors have lectionaries that they can follow. A lectionary is a grouping of scriptures for each Sunday of the year. And it runs in a three-year cycle. Year A, year B, and year C. And any given Sunday in the year, across 3 years, you have different scripture readings that you can be preached on. And if you follow the cycle pattern and preach one of the three passages every single year, like all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, all the gospel lessons, all the Psalms, over the course of 9 years, you preach most of the Bible. Wow. Well, the Jews had a very similar lectionary. It was also for 3 years. It covered all of the Old Testament, the Torah, the law, and the law, the prophets, and the writings. The Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim. The law, the prophets, and the writings. And it was grouped into 51 different readings for every year, along with an extra week of readings for Passover to come up with the whole year in the Jewish calendar. So 51 readings over 3 years. 51 plus 51 plus 51 is 153. In other words, it's the totality of Scripture. It's the totality of whatever it is that it's talking about. It's a powerful biblical number in Hebrew numerology. So here's the idea in play here, thanks to what John had to write. When we cast our nets, when we follow the directive that God has for us in Jesus Christ our Lord, when we obey His command and cast our nets as He calls us to cast them, when we reach out with the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord to everyone, because when you're casting a net, you catch all sorts of stuff. Not just to the tilapia and bass, but the bluegill, the goggle-eye, the crappie, and yes, even gars. Ugh. You catch all sorts of fish, the fish you want and the fish you might not want. And we're called to cast the gospel message the same way. We're called to preach the message of the love of God the same way. Casting it forth for all to hear, for all to receive, for all to be called into the family of God without restriction, without limitation, without exception. For the love of God is for all. When we do this, and when we cast that net wide, we are gathering in all that God calls for us to gather in. And not only will we be successful with Jesus in our midst, but all whom God directs to us will come. That's the meaning of the 153. We've got 153 chances. A chance with everyone. An opportunity to proclaim the good news to everyone, for everyone, from Jesus Christ our Lord. We have, with 153, the meaning of the 153, we have all the opportunities we need to share about the love of God. Oh, Greg, sometimes it feels as though the fish are trying to swim out of the net. Yes, we're called to cast it, bring it in, bring the fish into the boat, the church, then cast the net again and bring it in and pour all the fish God sends to us into the boat, the church. And then cast the net again and again, left side, right side, front side, back side, again and again and again and again, until we have gathered in all whom God sends to us. And guess what? We'll never be done fishing for people. Fishing for those whom God loves so much. For God so loved the world. May we be about fishing for people. May we cast the net wide for all whom God loves, and God loves all. May we cast the net wide and gather into the kingdom all whom God calls us to love and to serve. May we do so resting on the grace of Christ's presence, and may we share that love and presence with all. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.